A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
On a damp and windy March day, I knock on the door of a southwest London terraced house. It doesn't belong to a 20-something graduate, but to Mark.
Come through.
Not his real name.
You're Katie?
Yes, that's right.
A 60-something retired IT professional. He's welcoming and obviously very house proud, keen to give us a tour.
When I was living here, it was my office.
So will they it be are. Your office when you move back in?
No, because I'm moving back my...
Mark doesn't live here. Yet. He rents this house out to a tenant and lives in Devon with his partner. But soon, he's leaving his life in Devon to live alone in London. Why? Last summer, his adult daughter moved back into the family home with her partner and 3 children in tow. 9 months later, he's had enough and is off. Welcome to Money Confidential with me, Katie Morley. As the Telegraph's financial agony aunt, I'm hitting the road to hear directly from you. Is it wrong to take your children out of school for a cheaper holiday? Is it fair for your richer siblings to go on a ski trip and leave you behind? Are private schools even worth it? This is the podcast where we discuss everyday money problems affecting your life and relationships. Real people, real problems, real talk. Each episode, I'm also joined by a financial expert in their field to help solve these dilemmas, as well as a Telegraph columnist offering their tuppence. Today, we tackle adult children living at home. Reports suggest there's up to 5 million of them in Britain, with a grown-up child living in 20% of households, and that figure is rising. As the housing market becomes more unaffordable, many adults are not only relying on the bank of mum and dad, but the house of mum and dad, and for some it's proved an absolute godsend. But for others, navigating the financial dynamic that comes with the house of mum and dad, like how to pay rent or split bills, can lead to some toe-curling conversations and cause tension affecting the whole family. Enter Mark, whose daughter returned to the roost last August. He starts by listing off all the people and animals living under one roof.
4 adults. 3 children, 2 dogs and 1 bearded dragon.
Gosh, so you're very tight on space then, aren't you?
Correct, yes. What's happened now is because the kids have moved back. I've lost my office, I've got the kids in the garage, converted into another bedroom as well, so everyone's got their own space. But we're in each other's pockets the whole time. I had no problem being at the bank of mum and dad, looking after grandkids, looking after this, all that sort of stuff. But now I've got to the stage where they're living on top of it, there is no break. And I'm uncomfortable there because, I have no more space. And all my office stuff is now in the bedroom. They were meant to be here for 6 months, maybe a year. They moved in July. And come Christmas, there was no sign of them even looking for anywhere else. It's now April, May time almost, and I think, you know what? They're still not even looking.
Mark explains how debt has held his daughter back from being able to get on the property ladder.
We've had our daughter move into a house several times. To be fair, we've made this road for our own backs because we've constantly just pulled her out of debt. And I think more of it is, I hate to use this word snowflake, but it's that generation. I just think my father's generation were the last people that you could actually think, they will go to war for this country, I did, I think, 2.5 years in the TA, and I would have gone to war for this country at that time, But I think the generation below us, I don't know whether they would be that driven to actually make all these sacrifices.
I asked Mark to explain the domestic situation.
Very cushy.
Are they paying rent? Are they contributing to bills?
They're supposed to be, but I've not seen any.
How did you decide on the rate and how to enforce it or not enforce it? Did you sort of sit them down and say, this is the deal? Or
I did. I sort of said, you've got to turn around and actually pay some towards it. But they said, yeah, absolutely, we'll sort something out. But before we do that, can we get the Disney Channel, please, on the Sky? And I thought, yeah, OK. So there's an extra bit on the Sky for the kids. Or can we get the sports now as well? I can't stand sports, but the partner does. And suddenly our internet bills and our Sky bills have gone from £70 a month to £115, I think it's a month. As I said, if it was just the bank of mum and dad, we could see the kids on our pace or whatever, I'd be quite happy to be there still, you know? I could put up with the fact that I've got to get taxi in or whatever to do the stuff, because that's my forever home, you know? But that's not going to happen, unfortunately. It's just, now they've moved in, they will never move out, I think. And even if they do move,
they'll be there for the rest of their days.
I can't see how they'll ever be in a position to afford to rent. When they first were asked to leave their property, my partner and I decided we would help them look for a property, and we would stand as guarantors for a property for them to rent. But for every single one that came up, even the ones I thought they were really good, they'll do. I said, no, I don't like it. It wouldn't work for this. It wouldn't work for that. There's not enough space here. There's not enough space there. And I thought, well, okay, well, what does it want? We were even looking up to prices that were about £2,500 a month because they wanted four bedrooms. And that was a really good deal for somewhere in £2,500 a month would just get you a two-bedroom place in London, yeah? But there you'd get a four-bedroom place with a garage and with some land, yeah?
And do you think that they were sort of making excuses that they actually didn't want to go out on their own? They wanted to remain in your house?
I think they saw that as an easy option. Their speech to me was, you know what, we'll never be in a position to own, so let us, unless we save, because we're paying rent, it's dead money, let's move back with you guys, and then we'll be able to save. I don't know how much they've saved in the 6-9 months they've been there, but they do have new iPhones.
Do you think that they'll miss you?
I hope not. In the sense that I think they'll be much happier when I'm not there, because they just see me as a grumpy old man at the moment, you know? Whereas if I come back every 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I'll then have much more quality time, yeah? I don't need to be with them 24-7, yeah? They don't need me there 24-7 either. I am so happy about the move. I came over last night to stay with some friends around the corner, and they're really happy about moving back. So I'm looking forward to get a new car. I'm looking forward to moving back, going down to the pub with my dog in my hand and reading my books.
What would your advice be to other parents who are considering letting their adult children moving back home?
Set ground rules. It's something I never did, yeah? The Sky situation or the thing, we're not going to increase, even if we do increase. But you then take control of it. It comes out of your account. We don't say, I'll give you £10 a month extra for it, you know, because it never happens, yeah? Another thing that they should have is expectations of when they're going to leave, yeah?
So set an end date.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have you for 6 months or for 9 months. But, you know, at 6 months, I expect to be looking for somewhere that you can move out in 3 months. Don't just expect that, you know, something will turn up, Macawba sort of thing, you know?
Did you ever consider, or would you ever consider, being cruel to be kind and cutting them off financially completely, just literally putting a stop to it one day? I'm asking because my parents kind of did that to me.
Yes, I have. And in fact, that's exactly what I'm planning on doing now. The phrase skiing comes to mind, which is spending the kids' inheritance. I'm going to use it on this to get this place exactly as I want it. Yeah? There's an extension I want at the back. There's a few changes I want to make because this is now going to be my forever home. I've washed my hands this time. I'm going out skiing, as it were. Whereas my daughter, my partner, are still in that relationship where they've got to find some way out of this. I think it's a financial trap, in effect, you know?
So it sounds like they might need some help with the financial basics.
They would need some help with the basics, and we just cut what I call common sense thinking, you know? I feel I can't turn around and live my life for her. I can only advise, you know? I can only say, this is how I did it. And I tend to have eyes rolled and think, yeah. But it's different now, Dad, yeah? I thought, OK, yeah, fine, and I tend not to argue. Yeah?
Mark there, happy as Larry to leave his family at home and return to a London bachelor pad. We've had loads of very different opinions on this topic on the Telegraph's Facebook page. We'll link that in the episode description so you can have your say. Now, here's a few. Leah is quite unsympathetic to the woes of the younger generation. She says children should all want to leave home and share flats with friends when they go to uni or start work. 18 is a great age for doing this, she says. Grow up and become independent. If your parents have done a good job, then you are able to stand on your own two feet. So she's basically saying it's the parents' fault if their kids can't move on. Now, Joseph has also written in, and his story shows that it's not always about wanting to move home, it's about needing to. He says, just got divorced and found myself unable to get a mortgage due to already being on one and unable to afford anything other than a flat share. If I'm going to share a house, it might as well be with someone I know and trust, and I do sympathise with that. Quick one from Misty as well. She says age is not the issue, their contribution is. So she's essentially saying it's about paying your way, paying the bills, keeping your side of the street clean, rather than how old you might be in years. What do you think? Would you tolerate your adult children coming home to roost? Are you an adult child who would happily return home? What advice would you give to Mark? Email me directly or send a voice note to moneyconfidential@telegraph.co.uk. And if you have a financial dilemma or awkward money problem affecting your life, email me or click the link below and we might be chatting to you on a future episode. It can be totally anonymous if needs be. Coming up after the break, we speak to Lisa Conway Hughes, financial expert and someone who has first-hand experience of moving back in with her parents.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to Money Confidential. Real people, real problems, real talk. With me, Katie Morley. Joining me down the line to talk all things adult children living at home is Lisa Conway Hughes, financial expert and somebody who has first-hand experience of moving back in with her parents. Lisa, welcome to the show. What do you think of Mark's situation?
I think I just feel really sorry for everyone. I feel sorry for Mark that presumably he's in his retirement now and these are the years when he should be enjoying it. But I also feel sorry for the daughter because how does she improve her financial situation? I feel they both feel very stuck.
How commonly do you come across families where there's adult children at home and there's a bit of financial contention there?
I would say more often in recent years than I've ever seen before, especially I think a lot of clients had kids come back during lockdown and then they've never left. And I think if you're perhaps not using the time back with mum and dad productively from a financial point of view, I feel it could really drag on.
Can you talk us through the economics of why there are more adult children living with their parents these days? There are 5 million and counting now. Why is that?
One is the pandemic, which we can't get around. But the other, I just think, is the increase in private rentals, but also the cost of houses going up. So I also saw on the Office of National Statistics that someone in 2023, your average English full-time employee needs 8.3 times earnings to be able to afford the average house. And if you go back to 1999, it was only 4 times. So you need double the amount of money, or at least the double amount of debt, to be able to achieve the same outcome, which is just a ginormous change and an unsustainable change.
Do you think that there might be a sort of generational shift in attitudes as well, as Mark says?
I'm not necessarily sure of a generational shift, because I think you get people who are naturally good or bad at money in every generation. And the good thing is, I think most people at least can be changed and you can learn good money habits. I do wonder how the daughter would be reacting right now if there wasn't a financial safety net in place, because either it could go one way or the other. She really seems to really, really need Mark to be able to sustain a household. But also it seems that there's been a long history of him having to help her out as well.
It's such an interesting question, isn't it? Is it nature or is it nurture? You know, is there something in her that inherently means that she's not good at managing her money? Or is it something that Mark or other parents in this situation have done to make people feel like mum and dad will always be there to catch them when they fall?
Yeah, if I was to consider my own situation, I definitely think the fact that there was no safety net or any alternative option other than me to earn it has always made me get up in the morning and work really hard. But that could just be a combination of circumstance and personality, really.
What did your parents say to you then?
I don't think there necessarily was a conversation. It was like, well, you've got your national insurance number, so it's there for a reason. Go and get a job.
I literally got told, after you turn 18, Katie, you're never coming back home. Never. But it worked. What practical things, Lisa, could Mark do to help his daughter finally, in her 40s, become more financially independent and perhaps, you know, get and stay out of debt?
Yes, so I was thinking about this, and there's the what you can do, but there's would it work in reality? And I think being in the same family and talking about money, it's just not very British, is it? So I think we've got to both, maybe they need to set it up as a family meeting. Maybe there is a financial advisor there or a financial professional that can be mediating it. And I think everyone just needs to be open. Like, for example, the thing I'd love to know is, can Mark afford both houses really and the lifestyle he would want to have in retirement? I know he says he's spending the kids' inheritance, but yeah, can he truly afford it? And is it sustainable for him? I think that's, as a financial advisor, something I'd really want to get to the bottom of. And then once he understands his own financial limitations within the situation, I think then it's about helping his daughter to really understand that. And then with his daughter, I'd really want to understand how much was really coming in and get a plan together to say, right, these are my rules. So maybe Mark says, I'm going to give you 2 years to get your house deposit together, well, flat deposit together, to rent. Or if it's to buy, could there be a family plan? So maybe they don't need such a big house, but maybe freeing up money now to help the daughter, but also to help him, could be the right way forward for everyone. Because it does feel like, I'm sure the daughter feels awkward. I'm sure the husband feels even more awkward living in his father-in-law's house. So yeah, I feel really understanding each other's situation without judging in the first instance would be helpful.
Do you have any tips to help with financial discipline when it comes to situations like this?
Well, I suppose it's hard with the daughter being an adult, but also does Mark really understand her situation? Because 3 kids don't come cheaply. So could there be one last resort where Mark clears the debt, she commits to paying rent that he squirrels away and keeps it for maybe a surprise deposit for her? And the discipline that comes with paying consistently towards the rent and the bills might help develop habits that will help her when she has moved out.
I love that idea, Lisa. That's a really interesting way of kind of shifting things and giving her a fresh start, isn't it?
Yes. Is that because with debt comes shame, unfortunately, and she might not be in this situation because it's her fault. And so I think a clean slate might be enough for both of them.
Yeah, I think that's a really fantastic idea. And, you know, do you think that kids in achieving financial independence has more to do with their inherent personality and drive? Or do you think it's more to do with how their parents have handled them?
I think it has a lot to do with your personality and what's important to you. So, yeah, I think it's to do with partly your mindset, but maybe it's how comfy is the home and how good's the cooking.
It's a very important factor. And whether the washing gets done as well, I think.
Yeah.
And finally, how can parents with adult children living at home set and maintain financial boundaries with their adult children? And how important is that for the ongoing relationship, do you think?
Something that I was considering is when you're at home as a child, then perhaps you leave and then you come back. Do you come back into the home as an adult or do you slip back into your previous behaviour as a child? And I think it's helpful to have it really clearly set out from the beginning what's expected from a rent point of view, but also what's expected from you as the parent's point of view as well, because maybe there are plans that you've got in mind. You want to downsize because you want to do 2, 3, 4 years of travelling and really living it up in that way. I think you've got to also be very strict about what your personal boundaries are, but also the child slash adult can either see returning home as a cushy thing to be able to then live it up for a few years, or is it the springboard to financial success in the future? Because rather than paying rent, you can save for a sufficient deposit.
So it sounds like it's important for both adult and child to lay out their boundaries really clearly, and also for each party to really respect that as well. The last thing that anyone wants is to slip back into that adult child mentality. And I think that would be easy to do.
Really easy to do. And when I lived with my mother-in-law and father-in-law in my early 20s, and then again in my early 30s when I was doing up this house, we decided in advance how much I was going to pay. I mean, I'm quite embarrassed. When I was in my 20s, I used to pay £20 a week lodgings.
What?
I know.
Where was this?
In Wimbledon, can you believe it? I was getting a really good
deal. You wouldn't get a shoebox for that now in Wimbledon.
Psychologically, it meant everything to me to just be paying something. It felt like it was my home, even though it was a token gesture. And that gave me the freedom to save for deposit for my first flat, which I was very lucky to not have to pay rent at that age. And then also while my family home was being doing up, rather than again having to pay rent, we stayed there. And the deal was one of us would do the cooking every night in lieu of rent or payment. So it just felt like, yeah, we weren't outstaying our welcome, hopefully.
I think that sounds fair enough. If everyone's happy, that's the main thing, isn't it? And the key that is that it was temporary as well.
Well, we did stay 6 months and ended up staying for 18 months. So maybe we did outstay our welcome.
Well, thanks so much, Lisa. Where can people find you?
So if you want some regular money tips, I've got an Instagram, which is at Miss Lolly Money.
Joining me on this first episode of Money Confidential in the studio is Telegraph columnist and fully qualified father, Michael Deacon. What did you think of Mark's story there?
I thought it was absolutely extraordinary. I've never heard anything like this in my life. I must admit, for me, this is quite a sort of puzzling scenario, mainly because I'm at a different stage of fatherhood, because I've got one child and he's only 10 years old. So we're not quite at the stage of sort of turfing him out onto the street just yet. Probably give him another 2 or 3 years before we do that. In fact, for me, I kind of have the opposite problem because I kind of worry about empty nest syndrome. I think, well, you know, when my son grows up and leaves home, goes to university or whatever, what are we going to do? Because we're now so used to having a child to look after the whole time he's never away. I don't know what we'll find to do with ourselves, what we'll find to talk about. In fact, next month he's going on a school trip to France for a week. Now, this is the first time we have ever been apart. My wife and I, we have not got...
What are you going to do with yourselves?
We don't know. What we talk about? Probably to talk about him. Probably say, how do you think he's getting on? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I hope he's all right. Oh, do you think he's sleeping okay? Do you think he's missing us? We'll just be talking endlessly about him. So it's quite hard for me to understand older parents who are actually quite happy for their children to leave home and disappointed when they come back.
So what are you going to do? How are you going to keep him at home?
That's very difficult. I think I'm just going to encourage him to fail all of his exams so he can't get a job, and then he'll be stuck with us.
Oh, but in all seriousness, we have had some really interesting comments from Telegraph readers as well. Mm. Some of them also looking forward, I think, to sharing their homes with adult children. Elaine is already thinking ahead to her 14-year-old daughter's 20s. She says, "We have wondered if our teenage daughter will be living at ours way into her 20s. We've discussed it and we'd like to charge her rent, which we would then put into a savings account for her future with the aim of helping her get her own place." Mm. Seems pretty sensible, doesn't it?
I think it is very sensible, and hopefully it will actually encourage. You know, if your child is reluctant to leave home because, I don't know, they're reluctant to get a job, if they're a bit of a layabout or something, if you're going to charge them rent anyway, well, that's just going to give them the final push to leave home anyway, especially if you're charging market rents, which are extremely high these days.
Extremely high.
That should help if you're trying to push them out the door.
It does seem, though, that things economically are getting so much harder for the younger generations. I mean, when I got on the property ladder myself, I thought it couldn't be any harder, you know. Gosh, we've had it so bad. But actually, the younger generations have it even worse, do they?
I think they probably do. You look what's happened to house prices. I remember my first ever flat that I rented in London. This was in, let me think, 2002. And that was £476 a month, including all bills. And that was just off Old Street. So a fantastic location, an incredible flat with a roof garden.
Amazing.
In a really cool part of London. Perfect if you're young to live there. And God, young people today, they wouldn't believe it. The kind of, so yeah, I feel almost guilty about the fact that things are so much more expensive for them now.
Yeah, have you ever lived with your parents as an adult?
No, I haven't. I think that would get quite awkward. Not so much. Well, it might have been awkward for my parents if I had. But I think as once you're an adult yourself, you feel you don't want to live with your parents anymore, because they will just keep treating you as if you're still a child. That's the thing. And once you're grown up, you know, you don't want your mother, you know, commenting on your table manners or telling you to tidy your room. It's a bit embarrassing. But I think actually that's the role of parents, you know, embarrass your children enough that they want to leave home and live their own life.
Funny you should say that. We've had Simon come up with a rather unconventional method of encouraging kids to fly the nest. He says, "When our kids were 18, we stopped wearing pyjamas and dressing gowns at night, and they left pretty quickly."
I think that's absolutely foolproof, and I think Mark should consider that with his children, because, you know, if that had happened to me, I'd have left home without even, you know, having another place to go to. I would have happily slept under a bridge or in a cardboard box in the street. You know, that I would rather have had that than be witnessing the spectacle you've just described to me.
There we go. The ultimate solution to the problem just there. Kashif has an interesting point about how multi-generational living is actually very normal in other cultures. And is it us who's got it wrong in the UK? Maybe we're missing something here. He says, "What a contrast in societies and norms. In Asia, parents build bigger homes specifically for adult children to live together, whereas in Europe, parents push them away at 18. No wonder they all end up in old age homes."
Yeah. I mean, it's a very good point, but it's very hard to see how we can resolve that in this country, because, you know, we have very small boxy homes compared to other countries, and, well, there's not much we can do about that. I mean, it's hard enough to get planning permission for anything or to build new homes at all in this country. So I don't really see a way out of this problem without demolishing all of our housing stock and just starting again from scratch. But it's certainly true. You know, our own culture actually used to be more like the Asian culture just a few generations ago. Families, even if they didn't all live in the same house necessarily, they lived close together. They would live in the same street, and therefore different generations would be involved in the childcare. Whereas it's only in the last few generations that adult children have started moving to the other end of the country, going to university somewhere else, and then only very occasionally seeing their parents after that. So families are spread out, society's become very atomized, and that's why these days parents end up paying extortionate fees for nurseries and childcare. A few generations ago, you know, the grandparents would have been much more involved and the family would be tight-knit and everyone would be helping each other out. And that doesn't really happen now. And so no wonder younger people are struggling financially. I mean, maybe it's their own fault for choosing to move to the other end of the country and away from their parents. Or maybe the parents don't really want to be so involved these days.
Well, it's exactly what I did, Michael. I moved from the north to London and my parents are 5 hours' drive away.
Well, I'm even further, because I grew up in Scotland, so there you are. But I'm not blaming anyone else here. It's my own fault, but it's the way our society's gone. It's become very atomized, whereas talking about Asian cultures here close together, maybe that's a better way of living.
Yeah. We've got an anonymous comment here. I'm moving with my husband and two kids, age 1 and 3, into my parents' house later this year while we do a major renovation project on our house. I'm kind of looking forward to it, she says. I get on really well with my parents and it'll be amazing for my kids to spend so much time with their grandparents. Compared to renting a pokey 3-bedroom flat, for the best part of a year, we'll live in a lovely, comfortable house with a work-from-home space, a garden and free childcare. We'll save tens of thousands of pounds in rent. So it's a no-brainer, she says, but I'll let you know if we all still feel as positive 6 months in.
Yeah, well, it sounds idyllic, doesn't it?
Sounds idyllic.
If they, that's genuinely how they all feel, if they're all completely happy about it, the one risk with a scenario like that, of course, is that, you know, older generations, you know, will insist on giving parenting tips. If you are around, you know, them all the time, you know, that they will have their own ideas about child raising, and maybe younger generations don't have the same ideas, and that can be a source of tension. I think that's the one risk. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen here, but that is the risk when you're living with your own parents and you've got your own children.
It's hard to bite the tongue sometimes, isn't it, for the old generation? I think
it is. Well, and the younger generation,
and the younger generation, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For everybody. Ray has come through with a point about loneliness and the burden of making meals for one. He says, living on your own is not a good thing at the best of times. As a single bloke, I would have my main meal at work because it worked out better. And on weekends, I would hope for invites from fellow church members. Not good.
Well, I think Ray's got a very good point here. And it does actually make me wonder a little bit about, now, if I were in Mark's situation and I had the kind of money that meant I could just buy or rent a flat in London as well as, you know, my own fabulous sounding home in Devon. Well, I'd be moving my grown up daughter and her children out into that flat so I could stay in my own lovely house in the country. I mean, I'd be happier there, you know, rather than he's done it the other way around. He's moved himself out.
Yes, it has crossed my mind, and it may cross others' minds as well as to why it's been organised in this way.
Well, maybe until now Mark hadn't thought of that, and now he's heard our very helpful advice. The penny's going to drop, yeah. And he's going to switch it around.
You're giving him ideas.
I hope so.
Well, that's why you're here, Michael Deacon, for your unconventionally excellent ideas. If people would like to hear more of your ramblings, Michael, where can they do that?
Well, they can find me in the Telegraph on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays.
Michael Deacon, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there you have it. The Michael Deacon approved method of dealing with grown-up children at home is to stop wearing pyjamas around the house. Another more practical solution was looking into the viability of intergenerational living, i.e. actually making a proper plan to live with the parents rather than flying the nest as soon as possible. Today's topic is one we've had tons of responses to because it is so prevalent at the moment and it's set to grow. As the housing market becomes more unaffordable, many adults and their families are not only relying on the bank of mum and dad, but the house of mum and dad. So, as we heard from financial expert Lisa Conway Hughes, some ideas to try are family finance meetings, getting a handle on debt, and a savings plan in the name of rent, with a surprise at the end. I'd love to know what you think. Is Lisa's advice practical? Would it actually work? And what do you think about Mark? Is there more going on there than meets the eye? Has he got a part to play in all this? And what would you do? Let me know by sending me a voice note or emailing me directly at moneyconfidential@telegraph.co.uk. Next week, we tackle money jealousy. What happens if your siblings have more money than you and go skiing but leave you behind? Follow this podcast in your favourite podcast app so you don't miss an episode, and if you fancy, leave a nice review too. If you have a money dilemma you need solved, email me at moneyconfidential@telegraph.co.uk. In the meantime, you can click the link below this episode to read the Telegraph's own guide to make your adult children moving back home more harmonious and get them to fly the nest when it's time. And there's plenty more of our award-winning money coverage on our app. Thank you for listening to this first episode of Money Confidential. You can find me on Instagram at MoneyBackMorley, and thanks also to my producer, Isabel Bouchard, and series producer, Giles Gear. Ta-ta for now. Bye for now. Bye for now, sausage.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.